Greetings in the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. The section on the new creation. Chapter 34. The Power of God. Scriptures. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Revelation 11:3. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto Jehovah a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth, from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto Jehovah, and declare his praise in the islands. Jehovah will go forth as a mighty man. He will stir up his zeal like a man of war. He will cry, yea, he will shout aloud. He will do mightily against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry out like a travailing woman. I will gasp and pant together. I will lay waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, in paths that they know not will I lead them. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things will I do, and I will not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be utterly put to shame that trust in graven images, that say unto molten images, ye are our gods. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Who is blind as he that is at peace with me, and blind as Jehovah's servant? Isaiah chapter 42, verses 9 to 19, American Standard Version. But now thus saith Jehovah that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am Jehovah thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. Since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead, and peoples instead of thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth, as every one that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory. whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7, American Standard Version. Note, in Isaiah 42:11 we have Selah, a region of Palestine which means a rock. In Isaiah 43:3 we have Seba, which means a drunkard that turns in repentance. So it is for they that overcome. We cannot of ourselves do anything but what we see Father do, and that is what we can do. And in the doing of it comes deeper and more real repentance. And scriptures. Three visions. Vision extended from the glorified body, the writing previous. Then the angel which supported me took me aside to show me the magnificence of those who would be called overcomers, even these who forsook all things to be like their Lord. I saw in its entire scope the New Jerusalem from the bottom to the top, including the foundations, as though they were steps going upward and ending at the base of the gates and the jasper wall. Far above the pinnacle of the city, on the top of the Mount Zion, in the midst of the city, I saw a fire enfolding in upon itself. And in the midst of the billowing waves of fire, a throne set, and one who sat upon the throne, even the Ancient of Days, the Lord God Almighty, the great I am that Moses knew. As I looked at the fire, it began to grow and to envelop other parts of the holy city. The fire would enlarge and enlarge, enveloping more and more of the city. Looking down at the foundation, I saw the overcomers, each individual one climbing up the foundation stones as one would crawl up a staircase. On their heads were flames of fire from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ when they first began their pilgrimage to become those who would be called overcomers. As they clambered up the foundation steps, I saw that more and more the fire enfolded itself, would lick down upon them, slowly, and more enveloping them in an even greater measure than the flame of the fire of baptism, which they already possessed. As they climbed higher on the foundations, the fire would consume them more and more, until finally they came to the top of the foundation stones, and they were fully engulfed, each one individually, in the fire which enfolded in upon itself, which was the very same fire in which the throne of God was set. So when I looked upon God and upon the small overcomer, the fire was the same. The engulfing of the fire was the same, and the holiness of the individual overcomer was the same as he who is known as the Ancient of Days. And my heart was shaken greatly at this sight, as I saw men and women who were but ordinary people be consumed in this fire which enfolded in upon itself. And now the addition to this. I saw back to the beginning of the climb up the foundation stones that the overcomers were given power from God to enable them to even move their feet or their arms forward to climb. They were unable to climb except for the power that came from God. This power from God was in two places. The power from God was above them, drawing them upwards, and this power from God was the impetus within them to give them strength to move towards this drawing. as God drew them, and as they had impetus to move forward in this drawing, they would then climb. Otherwise, they had no way of having any strength to do so, but were unable to even make the first step. This was bare intelligent faith, in action, not doubt, and boldness, not fear. That was the power that came from God. As they climbed, the power increased more and more. Matthew 13, chapter 13 and verse 12 says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." And vision, however, the Lord may add to this. Second vision. I could behold the earth in its entirety. I saw the atmosphere surrounding the earth mixed with the presence of God, who had both his hands upon the earth, reaching through the atmosphere in keeping power. I saw God then lift ever so slightly his hands off of the earth and out of the atmosphere. As he did, evil upon the earth in the hearts of men began to increase exceedingly, being powered by the forces of principality and power in the air that was above the earth. As man's wickedness increased more and more, the horrible condition of the pureness of the earth was polluted, and mankind and the animal kingdom suffered immeasurable grief as God ever so slightly removed his presence from off of the earth. The evil became exceedingly wicked, and men's hearts were filled with anger and murder and every foul thought, and nothing in the vain imagination of men prevented them from destroying each other. The tumult upon the earth became so intense that many perished and were no more as man's evil heart and lawlessness increased. I saw that this is only but now, just at the beginning. This is a present reality, that the presence of God will wane from many areas of the world, and men will become exceedingly sinful in the mystery of iniquity. This, then, is a prophecy of that which we are now entering into prior to the return of Christ and the glorification of those who overcome. We are coming into a time of an increase of great evil and vision. Footnote, that was prophesied probably 10 to 15 years ago, and I think we're seeing this happen. End footnote. Third vision, extension of the second vision, except that once the evil in the earth had escalated to a certain point, God immediately lowered his hands to where they were before to bring an immediate end to the increase in evil. Thus far and no farther was the thought I saw concerning this. This also is before us yet to come. I am declaring these things to you, the reader, as a prophecy and not as something that has passed by us. End vision. End three visions. There is a great need in our lives to come to a place of utter and complete dependence upon the Lord for our very faith, and for every forward step we take in that faith. In fact, it is bare faith that we must come to in order to complete our walk forward as they that would overcome. Part of the reason for the confusion in our day amongst the religious of the world is due to the energy of soul, or self, in its effort to be holy before God and ready for the coming of Christ, which coming is commonly believed to be a rapture. Men have a natural tendency to try to make themselves right before God. However, this will never do, and all such efforts will fail miserably at making one right before God. No one can by any effort add 1 inch to their stature when it comes to being made right in the spiritual portion of their lives. Coming to bear faith is not the same as becoming ignorant or unwise. Quite the contrary. Bare faith is the sign of maturity and completeness. Bare faith, bare naked faith, bare faith is the sign of a maturity and a completeness in our walk which cannot be argued against. There is a faith that is intelligent, and there is a faith that is reckless. It is the intelligent faith, based on the hope built up in your life because of past experiences, that has value. It is that faith which is nurtured and grown up and added unto by the working of the power of God. Reckless faith removes thoughts from the mind which would cause you to discern spiritual things. For your natural mind is the first landing place of spiritual thought. And by that thought you must discern whether or not the motion of spirit in front of you is of God. Reckless faith abandons all such wisdom and accepts everything that comes to the mind from the spirit world as being from God, when in fact it may very well be the delusion of Antichrist that is giving the thought. It is the reckless faith that puts people's lives into the bondages of denominations and cults and leaves them with no mature thought of righteousness on their own. The overcomer learns that the thought that comes to them in the spirit has to be tried and tested to be sure that God was the giver of it. For every spiritual experience you will ever have will first come to your thoughts. It is that mind where the battle is, and it is that mind that the overcomer learns to bring those thoughts into subjection to the living Christ. Once you can do that, nothing will be impossible to you. There are these two kinds of faith: intelligent, which is based on the motion of God's true spirit, and reckless, which allows the Antichrist spirits of the world to delude the mind and give them a false peace, a false hope, a false security based in false doctrine. Both look exactly the same to the onlooker. One cannot tell the difference between them, except that the true one exalts the Lord alone. The reckless faith builds upon religious effort and the carnal ambitions of false doctrine. To be delivered of such, one must come to a place where they choose to walk according to the intelligent faith that comes from the mind of God. That thought is the thought that counters all the reckless thoughts by refusal. The thought that comes from the mind of God will kill the reckless carnal mind. Again, the thought that comes from the mind of God will kill the reckless carnal mind, and the two thoughts shall never be compliant. Now, I realize that the above paragraphs may be hard to understand, so allow me to simplify this. See this instead from God's vantage point, not yours, and from God's heart of infinite love, which would in time redeem all men back unto himself. We are climbing up the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem, or if you will, we are progressing, line upon line, progress, precept upon precept. We are progressing, line upon line, precept upon precept. That has not ended. We are still growing and learning. Now learn how to perceive and know the mind of God. For you are created in God's image, and you are redeemed by the blood Jesus shed for you on Calvary. Therefore, you have access into his mind and freedom to take his very nature upon yourself. That way you will be able to climb whatever stone is in front of you and scale its heights to the top so that you will be more than a conqueror. You are free as a child of the King to come into his very mind and into the motion of his spirit in present reality. In fact, God loves it if you do. So in simplicity, but with infinite intelligence, know that God gives you the thought that would finish your faith. When God looks upon those who determine to finish their course and keep the faith, he gives unto them power to climb up each and every obstacle that is in front of them. This power is a process whereby God reveals his approval of your choice, that you chose to abandon all other things and doctrines to come alone unto God, to learn of him alone. When you do that, you will immediately learn intelligent faith. God then moves heaven and earth to bring you to completeness, and he works according to the power of his might to finish you in a completed faith in the love of God and in the power of his everlasting dominion. This, however, is the process of daily trial. That trial is the process of climbing the foundation stones. Talking about the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. The process of daily trial is the process of climbing the foundation stones. Each day, a trial is in front of you, and each trial in front of you is one you can conquer as an overcomer when you abandon yourself intelligently into God's hands. Now here is wisdom. As you abandon yourself into God's hands, you don't get more comfortable. Instead, you get more trials. And the trials only become more and more intense as time progresses. As time moves forward, your trials and the attacks from the minions of hell becomes at times almost unbearable. And the testings sometimes can be the worst you would possibly endure or imagine. The more your faith becomes an intelligent faith, based in the true motion of God's Spirit, the more the tribulations around your life will increase, and the pressures upon you in this present evil world will only get harder. It is not unlike being pierced in your hands and your feet. You end up being led about by the circumstances of your daily tribulations rather than what you thought would be a peaceful existence. But inwardly, you know the will of God. The tribulations that increase, define in you a line. This line is the separation of spirit from soul, of bone from marrow in you. For intelligent faith will give you a separation in your thoughts wherein you will be able to know what is flesh in you and what is spirit in you. In other words, bare faith, intelligent faith, brings you to that place of full-grown duality. It amazes me that the closer we get to the coming of Jesus to appear in and glorify the overcomer, the more we have the growth of the carnal nature and the growth of the righteous, spiritual, godly nature. The only difference I see between those who are in a denominational Christianity and those who have come out of that is bare faith. The carnal Christian, stuck in the rut of religion, has reckless faith. The overcomer has bare or intelligent faith. The closer we come in the timetable of his appearing, the more defined this will become. Your flesh will become exceedingly putrid. Your spirit will more and more be revealed in absolute holiness. Both will be you. And it is into this growing mass of who you are that Jesus will appear and will separate the two. When he comes, and he will soon appear, you will have this future part of your life removed from you eternally. The inhabitants of the spirit world and those who live upon it, and those who live upon the earth, will see a company of people who are then only holy. These who once held bare, intelligent faith will have faith no more, for their course of faith will be ended, and they will be in bodies eternal, glorified, age-lasting bodies which cannot die, right here on this earthen soil. Now, it is also true that they can course through the cosmos at that time. But it is here that the stage is set, and God does his first and his glorious work of restoration. These who will appear with Christ as the government of God will no longer walk according to faith at that time, for their faith will be complete and their courses finished. They will be rulers with the Lord upon the throne, not just upon the earth, but through the entire expanse of God's infinite dominion. And that is what will speak to the people yet on the earth in bodies of clay, that the overcomer has a faith once bare, but now fulfilled, once exercised, but now completed and holy. So come to that place, dear reader of this writing, where you are bare in faith, and your only intelligence is that which is of God in you. Come to that place where all you can do is set your eye upon the Lord alone, that you have no other motion of muscle to propel you forward in your daily walk. All you are able to do is have the response of faith that will complete your course. The power of all of this will then come from God alone and by his Spirit alone. Again, the power of all of this will then come from God alone and by his Spirit alone. The brightness of the coming of the Lord will destroy the measure of perdition which would bind you, and the confusion of our day which would delude your mind. The tribulations of this hour will increase in you, and the tempest and storms around you will assail, but it is all part of the separation of right from wrong, holy from evil, good from bad in you. Come aside amidst the mocking of those around you and from the reckless faith which would tempt you to try to do a righteous thing on your own initiative. Come outside the walls of man's effort to bear the reproach of Christ even more than you have in times past, and allow this to be an even greater cross to your life. Just as surely as Jesus arose from the dead, so will the overcomer rise in time right in front of us to conquer and to complete their bare, intelligent faith. Just as surely as Jesus rose in a body of eternal light and glory, so these will have his very blood, the blood of Jesus, the very blood of Jesus, his very blood, coursing through their veins, and his very mind as the blood coursing through their gray cells. In bodies fashioned like his, they shall appear on this earth and in the very cosmos to fulfill all the will of God. This is not wishful thinking. Again, this is not wishful thinking. This is just as real as the rising of Jesus from the dead and of his ascension to the right hand of God. He will bring many sons and daughters to glory. Intelligent, bare faith. That is the final working of the purpose of God in you, dear overcomer. And that faith will cause you to come into the eternal glorified state. With joy. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.